But one of the things that occurs during any sports spectacle is that they typically start with the national anthem. Now watch this. Except for recent protests, most people wouldn't pay any attention to the national anthem because it's typically done just as a routine. We do it, we get it out the way, then we start the game. But little does the national anthem have to do with anything happening on the field. Because what you have is a national anthem here and the play on the field here. But they're never connected. The national anthem does not influence what's happening in the game. And for many people, that describes their prayer life. We pray out of routine. We recite certain words, certain religious expressions, but they have very little connection with what's happening in our life. So we throw the words at God, but we don't expect God to really influence our life. We pray just so that we can say, I prayed today. But there's little expectation for that prayer to influence my day-to-day walk. But then some people's prayer life is like a spare tire. You pay no attention to the spare tire until something happens. And when that something happens, what does it do? It forces you to get out of traffic and stop what you're doing and now pay attention and pull out that spare tire because something happened and it made you pull out the spare. And that's how some of our prayer lives are, that we'll keep going through life, not really praying as we ought to until something happens. And then it forces us to pull out. And then now we got to pull out our prayer because now something's imminent. Something has happened so much that we need God to show up. Yeah, yeah. Okay, y'all left me by myself. Some of us have that kind of prayer life where we're only going to pull out something. That prayer is when something happens tragic in our life that forces us to have to stop. And I'm here to tell you that God is so good that he does not even reject our prayers when we neglect him in prayer. Because the Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So when we're not being faithful in pursuing him, he doesn't turn off the light and say, you know what, don't come back to me. That's what we do. Okay, y'all left me by myself. But God is always available. God is always accessible. And guess what? We have to sometimes pull ourselves out of life so that we can engage him. Write down Luke chapter 6. Just write it down. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it tells us, now at this time, Jesus went off to the mountain to pray. And listen to this. Bible says, and he spent all night praying. There are seasons when we just throw a prayer up at God, depending on what's happening in our life. But then, you know, there are some seasons in our life where we have to spend extended amount of time with him. Oh, okay, y'all left me by myself. There are times when we have to take ourselves away from the busyness and the chaos of life, and you say, you know what, God, I need you to show up in such a way I'm going to spend, if I have to, all night searching for you, all night seeking you. And we cannot put a timetable on when God shows up. Oh, my gosh. Okay, y'all, okay. Let me start right here again. We cannot put a timetable for God to show up. So when I'm before God in prayer, it's with the expectation, however, whenever, God, I just need you to show up. And I'm not going to move until you move. Oh, my gosh. Jesus demonstrated that he was willing to spend extended amount of time in prayer with God. So much, watch this, when you read Luke chapter 11, verse 1, his disciples come to him and says, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to pray like that. Because watch this, they could have asked Jesus for anything. God, would you teach us how to reach more people? Jesus, can you teach us how to perform more miracles? No. Jesus, teach us how to pray. because it was something that Jesus demonstrated in front of them that was so attractive that they said, we want some of that. So let me ask you this question. How is your prayer life? Is it so attractive that it causes other people to ask, show us how to do what you do? I'll give you time. Because if the truth is, and even when I examine my own life, sometimes there are moments when I'm really hitting it in prayer. But then there are some moments I'm struggling in prayer. But even in the struggle, that does not mean I stop. A friend of mine would say this. He says, you have to learn to struggle well. So even in the struggle, I don't just throw in the towel, but I learn to struggle through that situation. Are y'all tracking with me? My good friend, I'm not going to point him out. He's a trainer. But I remember him meeting with me the first time. And he says, I remember the first time I worked out with you, like you were struggling. Because he could see. He was putting me through some things. But then after I worked out with him a few times, I learned to struggle well. So I tried to hide the struggle. So when he would turn, I said, hey, look over there. Woo, Jesus. All right, I'm ready. But even in our prayer life, the attitude is that we have to learn how to struggle well. So when we don't feel God near, that means we had to press a little harder and work a little harder to encounter him in prayer. And so that means we had to stay there. Don't move. Tell your neighbor, don't move. Stay right there. So what Jesus demonstrates is that he made prayer a priority. Everybody say, make it a priority. My good friend Bill Eliff wrote this book entitled The Presence-Centered Church. And he says this, and I love this. He says, life is loud. You can write that down or tweet it. Life is loud. The one way we can turn down the loud noise of life is for us to get into his presence. Okay? Are you with me? Write down Zephaniah 3:17. And I love this. I shared it with our Wednesday night group. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And I love this. He says, the Lord your God is in the midst. A mighty one who will save. God will rejoice over you with gladness. Watch what it says. God will quiet you. That's in your Bible if you haven't torn it out. So the idea is that when I get to God, when I get in his presence, he has the power to quiet the noise of life. So when life is loud, when life is chaotic, if I get before him and get in his presence, guess what he does? He turns the volume down for me. So I don't have to work hard to turn down the noise. All I have to do is just make it a point to get in his presence. And if I get in his presence, he turns it down for me. And maybe for you, you're thinking life has been chaotic for me. And what the Lord is saying, I just need you to get to me. And when he's in the midst, he'll turn it down for you. Amen, somebody. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to talk about dangerous prayers. Genesis chapter 32. So when you get in his presence, we can pray certain kinds of prayers that really can be very dangerous in a good way. Genesis chapter 32. We're going to pick up at verse 22. Genesis 32, beginning at verse 22. And if you're a new believer or you're still searching for the Lord, that's the first book of the Bible. Hey, what you laughing for? We all had a starting place. Y'all laughing. Not everybody is not as saved as you. Well, Help Jesus. The Lord was patient with us. Let us be patient with others. Genesis 32, beginning at verse 22. When you have it, say, I got it. It says, the same night he arose, and this is Jacob, and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26, then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I ain't doing it. That's the Steve Bell version. I ain't doing it unless you bless me. And he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God. You might want to underline this or highlight it. For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. The sun rose upon him, and he passed to Penuel, limping. Emphasis, he's limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Amen. When we pray these kind of dangerous prayers, the expectation is something happens to us and in us. I want you to hear me. That when we pray these kinds of prayers where we're willing to wrestle with God, then we would be left different than when we first approached him, okay? Because the idea of wrestling is that you're going to struggle. And watch this. He struggled with a man, but sometimes we struggle with a different kind of man. Sometimes we struggle against ourselves and the other distractions, okay? But through the struggle, it's with the expectation that we will be blessed because we struggle through that, okay? Because so many people don't like the struggle. So many people say, you know what? It's too hard. I don't know how to pray. And guess what happens? They just rather not pray. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you really prayed a dangerous kind of prayer? Where you wrestle with God, and the Bible says, and he wrestled with him all night so much that day was about to break. I'll give you time to think about it. When was the last time you prayed like that? That you said, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. God, I'm going to stay right here until you bless me. Watch this. And even if something happens in the prayer that would cause me to want to stop praying, I'm going to stay right here until you bless me. Because think about this. In this picture, he's praying, he's wrestling, and then this man hits his hip socket. And I can imagine that had to be painful. I mean, anybody ever experienced a dislocation? That's not a pleasant experience. Are you tracking with me? And even in that moment that could have distracted him, he continued to wrestle until he got his request out. Because sometimes when we're praying, there are, okay, my wife and I joke about this, like sometimes we have ADHD. And it seemed like stuff just start popping up out of nowhere. Like you'll be praying and all of a sudden a squirrel just run by your head. You're like, squirrel. Because you're trying to engage God in prayer, but there's all these things starting to happen. Try to pull, you start thinking about, I got to do this, I got to take care of this. Somebody's calling me, I didn't mute my phone. All these distractions starting to happen. Then you find yourself not engaging God in prayer, and then you say, you know what, I'm done. Amen. Because our tendency is that we didn't really experience God's presence. And because we hadn't, we just move on to the next thing. And let me tell you, sometimes you got to struggle through that. Because when you have this extended time of prayer, guess what happens? You'll be willing to suffer through the distractions. So when the squirrel runs by your mind, okay, there was a squirrel. Yes, the squirrel happened. I'm back with you, God. When I forget to silence my phone, I silence it right then. I'm back with you, God. because whatever it is that's going to attempt to distract you, it will try to distract you. And our focus is to struggle through that and stay engaged. Tell your neighbor, stay engaged. And so for Jacob, his encounter was going to leave him different. Here's a few things, and then we'll get on out of here. The first thing we see is that when we encounter his presence, watch this, it marks our life. When we pray dangerous prayers, it marks our life. Jacob was humbled physically when he encountered God's presence. And I want you to think about this. For Jacob, he always used his ability to get himself out of situations. Okay, y'all missed that. Jacob would always use his ability to get himself out of situations because he was a smart man, he was a crafty man, and he would use his smarts, his wit to get himself out of situations. When we go before God, our objective is not to give a plan to him and say, okay, God bless it. But it's for him to say, okay, here's how I'm going to bless you. Are y'all tracking with me? Because sometimes we want to take God, our plans, and then we want God to bless it rather than him showing us how he wants to use us. Okay. Here's some prayers. Lord, I pray that you would give me this new job after I've already applied for it, submitted my resume, sent my follow-up letter. Now, we hadn't brought it to God before, but it's like we already did all the work, and then we say, okay, God, bless it. And then we find out when we get the job, okay, God, you weren't in this. Because you might get what you asked for, okay? So we have to be careful. So as we go to God in prayer, it's about his will being done, not our own. Because here's the one thing I've learned, that his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. So God's plans will always be better than our plans. Okay, y'all left me by myself. His plans will always be better. Everybody say, it will be better. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And it simply says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man all the things that God wants to do through us. Are y'all tracking with me? So whatever plans we think we have, eyes have not seen, ears have not, whatever things we think we know better than God, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, because God's plans are always better than ours. So when he went before God, God humbled him. He brought him down. Because he knows that Jacob is always about his own plans. So when he wrestled with him, guess what? God marked him. Boom. Hip out of place. Because he says, you're not going to overpower me. You're not going to overpower me with your agenda. Okay? Because I'm in control of every situation. So even as we go before God, God knows how to humble us. We may think we have it going on. We may think we have some plans, but God has shut it down. Help Jesus. You remember me telling you about my whole situation with my job and God having to close that door? That's what God will do. He'll just shut it down when we refuse to do it his way. Oh, my gosh. And maybe that's the reason why some of us don't go to God. Maybe we don't want to be shut down when we go before him, because he knows that, maybe we know that some of our asking is for our own sake, not for God to accomplish his plans. So I'd rather not go to God and say, you know what, I'm just not even going to bring this to him. I already know what he's going to say. It got quiet right there. So we go before God, and he will humble us if you don't go humble already. So let's go ahead and cut across the field. Go to God humbly. Amen. But then the second thing, it marks our life. Secondly, it changes our identities. Oh my gosh. Look at verse 28 again. It says, then he said, I love this, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. So Jacob was given a new name in that moment. His old name was associated with two things, his behavior and his birthright. I'm so glad that when we go before God, he gives us a new name. Because our old name, in a sense, was associated with our behaviors. It got quiet right there. When we think about our life pre-Jesus, when we go before him, guess what he does? He gives us a new identity. But it's a progressive thing. When we go before God, he just doesn't renew us one time, but he continues to change us. If you're willing to go before him, he's going to continue to change you. Okay, right now, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and I love this. He says, and we all, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from the degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So as I go before God, not only does he give me a new name the initial time, but he continues to renew me and make me new again and again and again. Because it's not just enough for me to be transformed initially. There are still some things in me that the Lord needs to deal with. And so when I go before God, it's with the expectation I'm going to continue to be transformed every time I go before him. Because I promise you, as sanctified we look this morning, sometimes when we go before the Lord, we don't be as sanctified as we think we are. He'll start pouring some stuff out. You know you got some pride. You know you have unforgiveness in your heart. And just like sometimes we don't go before God because we already know the answer, guess what? Sometimes we don't go because he's going to expose us for who we are. He's going to tell us the truth when we don't know how to tell the truth about. We believe our own lies. I mean, we tell these lies, these grand lies of thinking that we're this super saved. I've never made a mistake, and look at me this morning. But sometimes God shows us who we really are. Watch this. And it's okay. Because he's not going to shame us. But rather, he's going to change us. So we have to be very careful not to project onto God what people have done to us. Because sometimes, you know, think about the last time you shared something very private with somebody and they use that against you. God is not like that. He doesn't tell our business like that. He has the power to change us from one state to the next state. Ooh, God, thank you. So the idea is that when we go before him, we're not the same when we leave him. Are y'all tracking with me? That means when we go before him, we can't stay mean. You're getting quiet right through here. When we go before him, we can't stay hateful. It's getting quiet. When we go before him, we can't stay unforgiving. Can we go a little deeper? When we go before him, we can't stay lustful. Okay. I ain't getting came up your street yet. When you go before him, you can't be vengeful. When you go before him, you can't stay messy. Okay, it's just. When you go before him, you can't keep lying. Okay, yo, I ain't hit your street yet. Okay. Because the idea is that when we go before him, we will not stay the same. We will be changed. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But then thirdly, when we pray these dangerous kind of prayers, we draw closer to God. Oh my gosh. The Bible says, he said, that I have stood before God, that he came before God face to face. Look at verse 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God. Oh my gosh. I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. God did not beat me down and leave me a hot mess, but God had delivered me. The ultimate goal of prayer is about God's presence. And if that's not your ultimate goal in prayer, why are you praying? Because the temptation is, let me bring out my grocery list of issues, prayer requests. Matter of fact, we have a prayer, you know, a prayer list right now that some of us are going to pray, and that's going to be it. That's all our time with God. Okay, Lord, you see the names on the list. Amen. And that's the sum total of our prayer. Or we go as far as, Father, I'm about to go to work tomorrow. Would you keep me away from certain individuals who will remain nameless in this time of prayer? Would you shut them down before I even come to them today, Lord? Would you? Amen. Because now it's about just reciting words, reciting a list to God rather than experiencing his presence. Our prayers is about encountering God's presence face to face. If our prayer is not about seeking God and seeing God, then we're praying wrong. Got quiet right there. Get quiet right there. Write down Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Because there are others that have experienced similar experiences. Moses experiences face to face. In verse 11, he says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Judges chapter 6, verse 22. Gideon, he says, when Gideon saw that he was with the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord. Look at this, face to face. Our prayers are to help us encounter God's presence face to face. Are y'all with me? So as we go to him, don't run the list down. Write that down. Don't run my list off first. Let me just get in his presence. And I'm going to tell you the greatest way to start to get in his presence, by confessing your sins. Because sin will affect you being able to experience his presence. So those secret sins that you keep in your hip pocket, pull them out and put it before him. Are y'all with me? So don't try to hide the sin trying to go before God. You confess the sin so that you can have the encounter. Remember, sin separates us from his presence. It makes us want to hide from his presence. So even when I'm praying, watch this. Even when I'm praying, if I got secret sin, I'm really not expecting to experience God because I'm still holding on to sin. I'm just saying words because that's what I'm supposed to do, and I'm not experiencing his presence. Woo. So the attitude is, I'm willing to, guess what, confess. Tell your neighbor, confess your sins. But then the last thing, and I love this, dangerous prayers impact the community of faith. Look at verse 32, because it just didn't affect Jacob, but it affected others. Therefore, to this day, not just Israel, the Bible says the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Encounters with God have the potential to affect the other people around us. So he has this private encounter with God. The entire nation is changed because of that. Okay, y'all missed that. Okay. His private prayer encounter with God caused him to change. But the entire nation was changed because of his prayer and encounter with God. So the question is, who's been impacted by your prayer life? Because here's the thing, people are going to be impacted one way or the other, either because you're intentional in pursuing him or because of your negligence. When you're pursuing God intentionally, guess what? It's going to affect people around you. If you're negligent, it's going to affect them in a negative way. They won't experience what you've experienced. Because the idea is that when we encounter God, it's contagious. It's like a residue that sits on you. It's like an aroma that sits on you that suggests that you've been with God. If you remember when Moses had gone up to the mountain, he spent time with God. He came down, and the Bible says that the glow of the glory was so bright, they had to put a veil over his face because it indicated that he had been with God face to face, that they couldn't even look at him because he had been with God. There was evidence that he had been with God. Is there evidence that you have been with God? Because it ought to be showing up in your life in some way or another. So dangerous prayers change you and change the people around you because you've been with God. And as we go to God in prayer, whatever the distraction has been before, let's choose to set that aside for now. And let's choose to pursue his presence more than what he can do for us. God's going to always be a provider. Let's get that out of the way. He's always going to provide. But here's the thing. We want his presence more than his provisions. Sometimes we want his provisions more than his presence. Are y'all with me? So would you bow with me for a moment? Because our prayer is for us to encounter him. Not just say words, but really hunger for him, to really crave for him. It's not enough to say, I did it today. But we need to say, I experienced it today. Would you just ask God to forgive you when you rush through prayer? Would you ask God to forgive you when the list was more than experiencing him? Would you ask for forgiveness when you brought your agenda rather than aligning with his agenda? Thank you, Lord. Now begin to pray for yourself first, that during this season of fast and praying, that God will manifest in ways that you haven't experienced him before. The plans that God has for you is far greater than any plan you can devise yourself. Would you just align with God's will? Seek God so that he can turn down the noise. That when life has become chaotic and confusing, that God will show up and bring order. Thank you, Lord. Now just tell him, I need you more than I need life itself. Because when I have you, I have life. Thank you, Lord. Now pray for the person next to you. Pray that during this fasting season, that God will show up. Pray that God will encounter them face to face so that the evidence will be visible amongst the family, so that we will know that we've all encountered his presence. And not just us, but that the world we go into would know. Yes. Because as we journey together, we want all of us, from the youngest to the more seasoned, that we experience his presence that will leave us completely and utterly changed. with the expectation that we will be changed. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, it's evident that there is none like you. So, Father, as we spend this time of fasting and praying, our desire is for you and you alone. God, we rebuke the notion that we're only fasting for you to do something for us. God, we know that's going to happen. God, we know that you can make a way. We know that. We know that you can provide. We know that. We know you can deliver and set free. We know that. But Father, our prayer is for you to just simply show up. And as Moses prayed, he says, and we won't leave from this place unless your presence go with us. God, we're willing to wrestle. We're willing to spend extended time in prayer for you to show up, God. It's not enough for us to just say words to you. Because matter of fact, God, your word says before we even pray, you already have answered our prayer. So Lord, would you just make yourself known to us as we pursue you, as we hunger and thirst for you, as we crave for you, God? God, as we commit to this time of fasting and prayer, God, we're making you the central focus of this. And so, Lord, we're fully expecting you to show up. And God, however you bless us, it is well with our soul. Whatever we're believing for individually, God, you're able. Whatever we've been praying for, we know you're able. So, Lord, would you show up? And Father, before we close this time of prayer, there may be someone here today who's uncertain about their relationship with you. They don't feel like you have shown up. Matter of fact, God, they feel distant from you. They don't feel your presence. And maybe today they need to make a decision. They need to make a choice today. Because your word reminds us that you are always near. You're never far away. But Father, I pray for that person who's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. God, they've been going about life on their own agenda, doing only what pleases them. But now they realize, God, you have a plan that's far better than any plan they can come up with. That even in their best efforts, it pales in comparison, Lord, to what you want to accomplish through them. So our prayer as a family is that you would save them today, that you would draw them closer to you, Father. So God, speak to them. Father, I pray for that person or person who's said, hey, I trusted the Lord. I believe that he gave his life for me. But life has gotten the best of them. They've drifted because of their own selfish passions and desires. And God, you want to bring them back. You want to restore them. You want to change them. So speak, Lord. Would you speak? Father, I pray for that person or persons, Lord, who say, hey, I need to be a part of a church family. Who's willing to invest into me and my family. We've searched, we looked. God, would you speak and give clarity? Whatever they're looking for, God, would you speak? Church family, we're praying. We're praying for those individuals right now. We're interceding for them right now that God would speak to their hearts. So if you hear the Lord speaking to you, to give your life to the Lord, to rededicate your life to him, or to become part of a church family, would you just raise your hand right where you are? right where you are, you're saying, hey, I need to trust Jesus for the first time. I need to recommit myself to the Lord. Or I need to be a part of a church family. If the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, would you just raise your hand? Don't worry about anybody looking. This is a you and a Lord thing. Whatever the Lord wants to accomplish through you, he will. But you got to surrender to him. We'll give you time. Thank you, Lord. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you've done. Watch this. And he is not afraid. He is not afraid of you. He's not concerned about what you have done. There is no sin too great. He loves you. He has the power to change you. I'm a witness of that. Hallelujah, God. Father, we thank you for those who are here who are still making decisions, even in their own hearts. And God, you're not just working on Sunday mornings. You're still at work throughout the week. So our prayer is that you will continue speaking all this week, Lord. Drawing each of us closer to you, Lord. And whatever decision where they feel uncertain, God, would you make it clear? Whatever decision we need to make this week, God, make it clear. God, we thank you. And we bless you. In Jesus' name. And every heart said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.